we gotta stop watching movies.
We gotta stop watching movies with psychopaths in them because he made a lot of good points.
It's funny.
Red Rum.
Oh yeah. Welcome to the What's Over the Podcast, where we fashion ourselves cinematic judge and jury. My name's JJ Carter. I'm with my co-host, Matzenheiner.
Better red than dead.
And Alec Burgess.
Let's get it.
We appreciate you tuning in. Go ahead and hit that follow, subscribe, like, bell notification buttons. Tell a friend about us. Tell your family about us. Tell a secret psychopath / alcoholic or a nice mom.
That's not an invitation to slide in my DMs.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true.
I just put this together. I cannot wait to talk about this in context of Alec, because if you sent Alec to this very scenario, would this be him?
We'll talk about it because I have some thoughts. But before we do that, I want to thank Manscaped.
The fact that he didn't say it, I'm like, he's probably thought about it too.
Pretty much. Got some texts from Alec we can talk about. Before we get too far into our movie that's coming, we want to thank Manscaped for sponsoring this episode again. We just enjoyed having them as a sponsor. And this episode is brought to you by Manscaped. And did you know that one man every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? I didn't. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer amongst men aged 15 to 35. That's you two. I'm not there anymore. With April being National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, our friends over at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. That they wrote that. I didn't say it that way.
I think you wrote that.
And as always, you can use promo code THEVERDICT for 20% off plus free shipping at Manscaped. I was glad when I started getting the information from Manscaped. I think this is a great thing to talk about. It's important. Go check out that website, manscaped.com/TCS. Make sure you're checking yourself for those early signs, for the men, for the women out there, the men in your life, help them check. Maybe, I don't know. I'm sure they'd enjoy that. In addition to providing the right tools and solutions for a comfortable and easy grooming, Manscaped is committed to raising awareness and giving support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer. That is why they will be donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. Help save lives and balls by going over to manscaped.com/TCS and sharing their funny educational check yourself video. It is funny. And while you're at it, grab 20% off plus free shipping with code THEVERDICT. Because like a famous American philosopher once said, take care of your mentals, your balls, and your chickens. So, thanks, Manscaped. We appreciate it. I love reading their ads. It's so much fun. With that, let's jump into today's episode. We're going to talk about The Shining. It was released. Wow, my scroll thing stopped working there. June 13th, 1980. It was directed by Stanley Kubrick. It was written by Stephen King and Stanley Kubrick alongside Diane Johnson. Stars Jack Nicholson, Shelley Duvall, Danny Lloyd, Scatman Crothers, Barry Nelson, Philip Stone, Ann Jackson, and Joe Turkle. It is about a family that heads to an isolated hotel for the winter where a sinister presence influences the father into violence while his psychic son sees horrific forebodings from both past and future. The Shining. I have mixed feelings about this movie, and I know I'm going to piss some people off, but I want to hear what your guys' thoughts are. Alec, this, I really want to hear from you before we jump into how much you can relate to this.
About our resident.
Okay, look, hear me out. I've
never seen the movie, so I'm interested.
All I'm saying is Jack Nicholson has a lot of good points, okay? That's all I'm saying. I've noticed in the last few times we watched movies about psychopath, I seem to be on the sympathizing of the wrong side without really recognizing it. But he was having arguments with his wife and family and stuff, and I was sitting there going, I've made that exact argument before, like word for word. And I was like, You know, I mean, just get the gears going a little bit, because I was like, but I'm sitting there and I'm going, I mean, he's making a lot of good sense about stuff when I don't think I should be thinking that. But I see his path pretty clearly. And I was like, okay, it's not good. But I was overall, it was a little bit more, once again, of a, oh, that was it. With The Shining. And I had avoided watching it like I avoided watching Silence of the Lambs. Because I'd been told it was scary, and that's good enough for me. I don't need to see credentials or nothing about why you say a movie is scary. You say a movie is scary, I'm not watching it. After we did Silence of the Lambs, I was like, ooh, that's pretty good. Watch The Shining. Now I'm starting to realize that I should avoid anything with a psychopath in it.
That's too close to the jib, huh?
That's a little close. And so I was, I mean, there was, I was laughing during most of this film, and I was sitting there going, oh my gosh, this is so ridiculous. Which I don't think is supposed to happen, but I was having a field day.
That's funny.
So
I did enjoy your text where you're like, we got to stop watching movies.
We got to stop watching movies with psychopaths in them, because he made a lot of good points.
It's funny.
Red Rob.
Oh, yeah. Look, first of all, Stanley Kubrick is an asshole. And I think most people in Hollywood would agree. He makes beautiful films, though. It's one of those things where, like, this film, I'm with you. This movie's not scary to me. Like, there's some tension that is good. And, like, the sound, the music.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
Yeah. There's music and sound and like the tension that really ramps up, but there's never a moment where I'm like, oh God, I'm scared, which is odd because one, this movie didn't do great when it came out in the theaters. It now is like revered as a classic. It's on like the film industry's top lists. It's been labeled as one of the scariest movies of all time. I don't agree with the scariest movie piece. I do agree it's a great movie. It's beautifully filmed. The visuals are insanely good. And I failed to talk about one thing when we were doing Barbarian for our Patreon. There's my shameless plug. Go check out Patreon if you want to hear about these movies. But Barbarian had some really great visual tools as well. Like the long shots down the hall with the characters in the forefront. You get a lot of those with Kubrick. And one of the reasons that his films are so beautiful is the guy insisted on tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of shots. Takes. So like that was his thing. Like there was a point where the part at the end where Jack hits the cook, Scatman Crothers, in the chest with the axe, they did 40 takes to get that. And Scatman Crothers was so frustrated, like he was crying and looking at Kubrick going, "What do you want, Mr. Kubrick?" And Jack Nicholson, who was good friends with Stanley Kubrick, had to look at him and go, "Hey, man, I think we got it." Because he wanted to do 20 more takes of the axe. So, like, that's the part with Kubrick that you knew that a scene that was, like, 2 minutes long, you were going to have to do it upwards of 40, 50, 60 times. It took almost a year to film this movie. And you think about it, it's like, what the fuck took a year? Like, you're in a hotel. There's three fucking people. Why? You know what I mean? It's like, so it's tough when you read about the circumstances behind the movie and like he was a complete and utter asshole to Shelley Duvall in order to like make her feel hopeless and desperate in real life so that it translated correctly into the movie. But I can't deny that it's a beautiful visual movie. Like it makes you feel uncomfortable and awkward and like you're in this giant ass hotel by yourself. Like, so I can't fault the man for what he ends up doing. I just don't know that I like the way that he did it, and I don't know that I could have ever been on the end of that. But like I do think, but Jack Nicholson makes this movie. Like man, what a performance.
Oh, he's incredible. I like when you talk about camera angles, Alec, when he gets locked in, like the fridge, like the walk-in fridge, and they do the upside down camera while he's leaning on the door and he's got his hand on like the little handle thing, and he's just like, you, and he sabotaged like the snowmobile and everything, and I'm just like, this dude, it's like I always said, like one of the actors were like Mel Gibson in some of the movies where he gets as angry as he does, and you get people that listen to us heard me say this before, when you're that good, just like Jack and Nicholas, you're that good at showing that level of crazy and emotion, like there's shades of that inside of you as a human being. And that always scares me because I'm like, you've got something. Or you talk about Bill Skarsgård, for instance. He's got a little bit of sinister in him if he really wanted to pull it out with Pennywise, for instance. And it takes a special actor to get to that point. Jack Nicholas is this movie, in my opinion, because what's his wife's name again? Shelley
Duvall.
I hate her character. She honestly, she comes off as whiny and... Honestly, she detracts from this movie for me. Just that's my personal preference, but Jack Nicholas is a killer.
Oh, yeah.
He's amazing. Pun intended, I guess. He's a killer.
Stan Shelley Duvall. I was laughing at the most intense part of the movie where she's like running through the hotel with a knife because of the way she's running with the knife.
Yeah.
The arms are going up, like barely holding on to this knife thing. I was like, oh my, you dropped your baseball bat for a knife, first of all. Big mistake. Yeah. And then you're just holding it as dainty as could be as you're,
I can't stand
tiptoe her. Running through the hallways like this bitch.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of she's just not believable.
No,
like, yeah,
for me, she just didn't. It was not on par with Jack Nicholas. Like it. I wish if you could go back, you could replace her. That's my.
Yeah,
my opinion, but I don't
know. Well, when Kubrick was casting, like he had in mind, like the typical Hollywood blonde, so the casting, obviously the casting director didn't go with that. And, a lot of people say that Shelley Duvall did fine, but I do think that they could have done better as far as casting. I just didn't. She just wasn't believable to me. Like, that's my problem. Like in all this like tension, I'm just like, whatever. Like it just doesn't work. But there's some seriously iconic moments in this film. Like the whole Here's Johnny, which is improv'd. And that's a Jack Nicholson thing. And the guy's got a little bit of weird. So there's a good interview. If you want to, you should look it up. I'll talk a little bit. So they did the, I can't remember. Anyway, he's in a movie with Matt Damon. What was the one with the cops where they swap places? Like Matt Damon and then
The Departed.
The Departed. So they're filming
great movie.
Great movie. So they're filming The Departed, and there's a scene where they murder this girl, this woman, like out by the river or whatever. It's him and his like right hand man. I can't think of that actor's name, which is stupid because I love him too. Anyway, so they were filming this. And if you watch this interview with Matt Damon, and he's talking about, he was having a conversation with Jack Nicholson, and Jack Nicholson was talking about filming that scene. And he's like, he only wanted to do one shot, or we did it and I shoot her and she falls over. And he's like, yeah, I got it. And Matt Damon's doing a Jack Nicholson voice that's pretty good, if I'm being honest. And he goes through and he's like, yeah, Jack would tell me, he goes, acting is about the next step. And he goes, and this guy's messed up. I'm a dastardly guy. He goes, so I shoot this girl. And he goes, and then what would happen if I then said, oh, she fell funny. Like, that's just a weird thing to say, right? Mm-hmm. Like he goes, and then the other guy, like the other actor said, what? Well, I mean, what? And he goes, and then, well, how bad would it be if I said, man, I really kind of want to fuck her again. You know what I mean? Because that's the line. And then he's rolling through these lines that are in the movie and how he got there. And most of it was him ad-libbing to take it to the next level. And apparently, like throughout this interview, the interview is quite long, but he's talking about this process. And he goes, he went to some other places that didn't end up in the film that you're like, Jesus, Jack, what the fuck's wrong with you? And he goes, but that's Jack's process is he knows the script and he'll do the script and then he'll go one step further than the script based on how he feels his character would go. And then he'll go one step further than that. And then it's up to the director to go, well, that's a line, you know, that's where we stop. And it makes sense. But you get moments like you had in The Departed, or you get moments like Here's Johnny and like the running around, like the voices at the end where he's freezing at the end of the movie and he can't coherently speak. Like that was him just ad-libbing and deciding that's what the character would do at that point, because he knows he's lost, he's frustrated, he's hollering around. So it's really, I mean, obviously, like you said, Matt, Nicholson makes this movie, but Nicholson makes most movies he's in. So
yeah, you needed that level of crazy, but clearly, like you're just talking about, if he's able to conjure some of those things up, you're like, okay, well, good thing you have money and you haven't had to go to baser instincts, because that's not where we want you to be.
Yeah. Well, good thing you have an outlet and you get to play these wackadoos instead of being that wackadoo. Yeah. But I love Jack Nicholson. I think he makes the movie, and every moment he's in when he's like really mad and it just ramps, like when he starts getting madder and madder and his voice raises, like he's just got that voice that you're like, okay, you should leave now, Shelley Duvall, just leave this man alone. Like why, you know? But then he has this tender moment with, you know, his kid and the bed, and he's like, I'd never hurt you. And I think that's where I get frustrated the most with, because I'm a Stephen King fan, so I've read The Shining, and there is a pretty big departure in a lot of ways from, this is Stephen King's least favorite adaptation of a book of his. And it's very different. Like there's no maze in this, in the book. There's hedge animals that are outside and they come to life. And Jack Nicholson's character, Jack, is like, he's possessed. It's not like he's going crazy. He's actually possessed by one of the spirits in the place. And so by the end of the film, or by the end of the book, there's a moment when, because the ending's very different, because we see this moment where Shelley Duvall's character, where Wendy is working in the boiler room, and that's a hint at what the book is. The boiler room has an issue in the book, because the hotel's old and it's big. And so you have to release the pressure in the boiler room or it'll blow up. So they're often down in the boiler room. And so Wendy goes down there and fixes it. And then Jack's character goes down, and that's where he has some of these moments where you realize he's possessed. He's talking to himself in the book. And in the book, he goes down to the boiler room, or he's in the fridge or whatever it is. He's trapped and he's talking to his kid and he tells him to run. He comes out of being possessed and he says, run, get away from me. And then the ghost gets pissed because he realized that Jack can bring himself out. So he literally beats Jack to death with himself. Like Jack beats himself, like mutilates himself. So Jack's dead for the end of the movie. When he's running around chasing him, he's dead. And then the boiler room explodes with Jack in it. It goes down to release the pressure and the other two get out and it explodes and Jack dies that way. And the hotel goes up in the book. And they made that change because Kubrick was like, I don't like the idea of it just being possession. I want it to be, you know, nuanced and weird. And that's how you end up with that weird fucking picture at the end where it's like Jack has always been there.
Oh, yeah, he was always there. He's reincarnated. And yeah, I've read a bunch of fan theories. And you're like, well, I thought that was in the book. But I was like, that just doesn't seem like Stephen King.
No. If there's one thing about Stephen King, his endings are either really good or they're terrible. Yeah, they're
terrible.
But they're endings. Like they cut off, they're done. He doesn't leave shit for interpretation. He ends his books 99% of the time.
Which I can appreciate most times, because I hate, there's sometimes I'm just like, just
tell me.
don't like John Wick 4, for instance. And you're like, he gave us the 10% of, like, maybe just end it.
Yeah.
I guess the only exception that maybe Inception, just by how they set that up and what that meant, that was one of the only movies where I was like, okay, I could see why we did this because of the symbolism of that event. But most movies, I can't stand it.
Yeah, the nature of that film, it made sense. And this one, I mean, I will say that there's very few better memes for wintertime than the meme of Jack Nicholson sitting and fucking frozen in the goddamn snow.
Oh, gosh.
So that's a pretty iconic you know, visual from that we use throughout, but I don't love the ending of this movie. You know, it's like, what? Okay. But I also don't love the ending of the book, because like, I do like that they took out the weird animals, the hedge animals coming to life. Cause I don't think the visual
would have worked.
Yeah. I don't think back in 1980, and that was part of the reason that Kubrick, he's like, I don't think we can make it visually look good. And so I don't want to do that. So I didn't mind that choice. I just think there were some things that they teased at, like when Wendy's taking the kid through the hedge maze and walking, like, make us see that a couple of times, that they spend a lot of time in the hedge maze. That's why he's comfortable running around in it and knowing how to get in and out and work his way around the hedge maze. Like, I liked that idea that Jack was always so busy in typing nothing and being crazy that he never went out and he never walked. He didn't have. So going in there, he's going to get lost. I mean, literally, people that filmed it got lost in that maze. So it's not unrealistic, but like, give me a little more of that and then take away some of the weird, like, long shots of the hotel hallways with nobody fucking in it. So anyway,
yeah,
the scary elements too are kind of, there's only two parts. So when he comes around the corner to the little girls, like, you're like, oh, like the first time I watched it, I think I was like 12, 13 years old when I watched this movie for the first time. When you come around and the two little girls, you're like, oh shit. And then like the scenes of them laying there being with the axe next to him. And then the only other one that can, like, almost to me, I mean, I guess the idea of the old lady, the young lady in the bathtub, and then he's ends up making out with the old lady, but it just doesn't, like, that one felt almost gratuitous to me too. Like, let's just have some naked women and then it'll be gross because he's making out with an old decrepit, yeah, like, dead woman.
Gotten rid of that scene. They didn't do anything.
Yeah. And I think there was, it's sad because there's so much more chance, so many other opportunities, because the book reads like a technical, like a normal horror. Like, there's ghosts, there's interactions with those ghosts. Like, there's creepy, uncomfortable scenes. Whereas with this movie, that was minimized and more about Jack's descent into madness. And which is fine, and I get that, but I wanted more from a horror movie. I want more horror from my horror movies. And I think the fact that Kubrick does such a good job with visuals, if you could have added in almost like the Haunting of Hill House series, like, if you just, you don't even have to do anything overt, just have like a ghost sitting in the corner as somebody walks by and it's just watching them.
Oh, that would have been good. Yeah, that would have taken to another level.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of shit that you're like, oh, no, because they don't even know they're there. They're watching.
Well, yeah, because you're spending all your time looking at the peripherals and you're just waiting. You're like, when's this mother effer going to come out? Yeah, that would have changed the tone a lot, because it gets to the point where I'm saying where they, it's all those long shots, the same types of things you're looking at, and it feels long, and they had the long trotting music, and you're watching Jack demise, but you've seen a lot of it, and it just, it goes really slow for me. There's not a lot of, nothing's captivated. Like, the visuals look good, but I've seen the visuals a ton. It's all by design, because you're like, oh, you're supposed to feel what Jack's feeling. But I'm like, oh, like, yeah, I need something else. Like, throw something else in there. And that could have worked well.
Yeah.
See, yes, but also no. No. We don't need ghosts sitting in the corner in this film. No.
Come on, dude. How good would it have been, like, when she goes into the dry goods storage and, like, just in the corner, there's some dude, like,
yeah, it would have been good, but no, we don't need it.
Yeah, then Alex's texts are very different. Yeah, like, yeah, he'd be like, I fucking hate you right now, but like,
yeah, I hate you, I picked this movie as stupid.
Yeah, it would have been so good. It would have made that movie, like, that's what I'm looking for, is just that ramp up of, oh god.
Yeah, I said I can't go into my pantry because I'd be terrified to see like some hand just sitting there, like, oh, I can't even eat right now. It's like, I can't eat ramen, I can't go, like, I'm starving.
Yeah. Well, and that's like, they kind of touch on it, like when he goes into the ballroom, the bar, and there's like all those people there, and you're like, okay, that's cool, because you know they're ghosts, you know they're not there, he's either hallucinating this or they're ghosts. But I just wanted more of that. Like, I want, and you could have done it even more subtly. Like, you could have had her go into the bar and be like, who's he talking to? And instead of the whole bar full, like, there's just a couple dancing in the corner to some creepy piano music. Or, like, I think you could really do a good job of, like, just adding that creep factor to your point, Matt. And it makes you tense because you're like, eventually one of these fuckers is just going to jump out and scare the shit out of me versus me just kind of going, oh, did you see that? You know? So I think there was a miss there, but Kubrick's not a horror movie guy typically. Like he's a storyteller and a visual movie. So it was just a weird choice for him to make it. He was kind of a weird dude. Like there's stories of him like calling Stephen King in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m. and asking him like, do you believe in God? Or like just weird shit that he used to translate it into how he filmed the movie. And I was like, what the fuck? You should read about it if you haven't. Like, it's a weird movie to read about. But I've been to the hotel that they based this on, the Stanley Hotel in Colorado. Huh. It's kind of creepy. It doesn't look anything like it. Like, they built this hotel to, like, have a bunch of hotel. Like, most of it was filmed in Oregon. And then they had a bunch of hotels that they built stuff around to have it mimic that. So there's a hotel, I think, in Boston where the chandeliers that you see in that front room, like they're actually, that's there. And like people will walk in and be like, oh, is this the Shining Hotel? Cause they recognize those chandeliers, but it's not. But there is like the Stanley Hotel up in Colorado it's in Estes, Colorado. It's in the middle of fucking nowhere. And you go in and you're like, this place is creepy. And the room, they changed the room. So the room
is 2017
is 217 instead of 237. And then the hotel in Oregon asked him to change it. The reason it's 237, the hotel in Oregon asked him to change it because they were afraid there was no room 237 in their hotel. And they were afraid that if they used 217, that people would refuse to stay in the room. So
I would have refused to stay in that room 100%.
I wouldn't have been. I'd be like, can I stay in 217? Because that'd be dope as fuck. I'm all about that shit. So, as you guys know. All right, we ready to rate this?
Let's do it.
Okay, Alec, it was your choice.
Okay, my choice. Now, this is a tricky one because I liked it and hated it all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that what I liked really balanced out what pulled me out of the story. Like I said, I laughed for most of the intense chasing, which is not something that really should happen. You know, maybe that's more speaking to my personal self more than anything else, but I was giggling. I think I have to give it a 3. Give it a 3. And most of that is because of Shelley Duvall. Like she was really bad. And when there's 6 people on the cast, 4 principal cast members, like you can't be that much of a dead weight. You know, even when the little kid is pulling much heavier load, like, so yeah, 3 for me. I will watch it again, although I probably shouldn't.
Yeah. It's worth watching again. Just, I don't know. God, this movie's so hard for me because I'm with you, Alec. I think very different reasons why we love and hate it, but I have very mixed feelings about the movie, but I think from a movie perspective and an interesting story and the acting minus Shelley Duvall, because even Danny did okay, like the Red Rum, right? Like he was creepy enough that it worked, but he was nice enough that you feel for him too. So you're like, oh God. So I'm going to give it a 4 and I'm going to say that it would have been a 5 if they'd input more horror elements to amplify the fact that this is a horror movie. It's based on a horror book with ghosts and a lot of uncomfortable, scary shit that isn't in this movie. I don't get scared in this movie. It blows my mind that people label this one of the scariest movies of all time because it's just not scary. Is it intense? Sure. Does it have tension because of the film, the visuals and the music and the sound? Yes. Is it scary? No. It's just uncomfortable, which is great. And it made for a good movie and a good story. And Jack Nicholson's performance is amazing. But from a horror perspective, it's just not a scary movie. So I have to detract a little bit from that. So yeah, 4 for me. I rarely watch this in its entirety. Like I watch pieces of it. I don't know that I'd unless somebody was like, I want to watch it, or it's a first time, I don't know that I'll ever sit down and watch the whole thing again from front to back, but I'll watch pieces of it for sure. All right, Madsen.
Yeah, I don't want to watch this movie in its entirety again. I think this movie has iconic scenes, but I've seen this is my third or fourth time. And I've already, like, Jack Nicholas is amazing, makes this movie, but Shelley Duvall, everything that you guys have said, I agree with all of it. But like I always said, the pace of this movie is truly what gets to me. It just feels a little bit like a slog. And having, as kind of JJ talked about, I know what's coming. And there's not really any reason for me to like remember like, oh, like where does that one come from? Because it's what's there is there. And it's just, yeah, it's slow. Having watched it enough times now, I don't really feel like I have a reason to want to ever watch it again. And I don't know if I will. But beyond that, though, if you haven't seen it, like especially if our listen, if you haven't seen it or if you haven't seen it in a very, 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 very long time and you want to get prepped for like Halloween or something like that, it's a good movie. Like it deserves to be at least watched once for sure. Like I remember the first time I watched it, great movie, like very captivating, interesting. There's spots where you will get scared because you don't know what's coming. But after that, it's worth maybe watching one more time for the acting performance of Jack Nicholas because you can appreciate it. But after that, I don't know. So for me, I'm going to give it 3.5. They needed the recast Shelley Duvall. And then the movie's just, by today's pacing standards, it's slow. And I really feel it. But beyond that, though, there's some other great visuals, great acting from the main character. And I think an interesting story and the demise of someone going from like normal to crazy is intriguing.
For sure. There it is. The classic The Shining. Go check it out. We appreciate you tuning in. Alec, tell everybody where they can find us.
Happy to. Just kidding. thank you for tuning in to week one of horror films. April's kicking off Bane. So this is coming out on April Fool's, but it's no joke. The whole month is actually horror films. I have a bit, so it's okay. So follow us on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. Let us know what you think of our verdict. Does it match with yours? And special thank you to our current patrons. I haven't checked names, so Charles, Will, Snuff, Richard, somebody, Matt Sands, Worst Enemy, all those lovely people. Thank you very much for your votes and selections for this month. Week one is in the books. Can't wait for more. With that, I'll kick it back to the Titan of Terror, the King of Crash, a JJ.
Yeah, that's me. And it's challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted.
Max Bialy stock.
Max Bialy stock.
And Rich. Just Rich. Beautiful. And so, yeah, thank you to them. Go check it out. They got some great requests for the first quarter. Can't wait for the second quarter requests to be coming. But, yeah, looking forward to the rest of April, talking about these horror films. And as always, we appreciate you tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
Bye. Hasta la vista, baby.
Cinematica.